Hello, everyone. Welcome to an in-person, if you can believe that, short shoot show. We are here in London. It is the day after the race, and there is plenty to dissect. We have one old hand here on the show, Chris McCormack, who's got, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see he's got the reddest puffer jacket from Bahrain Victorious you have ever seen. He's not making him any faster, though, although he does keep saying all the time, mate, I'm just getting into training, mate, I'm just getting into training. Hasn't changed a bit in terms of the shape of him. Anyway, we'll see if that's correct. And someone who's a lot fitter and a lot happier after today's racing, or yesterday's racing, Michelle Dillon, who gets an invite by virtue of the fact that she dominated and her team scored more points than any team has ever scored in one round, 148 team points, absolute dominance. We'll start with you, Michelle. Okay. Ladies first. How are you feeling after yesterday, and how much did you stick the knife into the rest of the team managers after the Sharks' performance?
Absolutely buzzing after yesterday. We had to get a head start because if we didn't, we could be in big trouble. We don't want to have the same situation that happened last year come Neon, where we got pipped at the post by 2 points by the bloody Scorpions. So we needed to get a head start, and that's what we did. And yeah, fortunately, we've got a very strong British lineup here with the Sharks this year, and we made a plan, and actually, we executed the plan very, very well. So I'm absolutely delighted.
Yeah, we'll unpack what that plan
was. I didn't sleep, actually. I'm that delighted.
What's that?
I didn't sleep.
You didn't sleep?
Oh, no. I was like buzzing all night. Got up at 4:30,
went to
the gym.
She's telling everyone to listen.
Yeah, I know. Right. Got up at the bar, propping the bar up.
Well, I had a few drinks, and then to celebrate, as you do, you got to celebrate your successes. If you don't, well, you know, life goes by a bit too quickly. And then I went to bed thinking, oh, I'm going to get an early night. And then I just sort of laid there under the eyelids and then got up at 4:30, went to the gym.
Oh, my God.
And I'm still awake.
Give me a break.
So there you go.
Give me a break. Macca, Scorpions, not at the other end. After the men's race, they were, after the women's race, I think you'd scored about 4 points.
Yeah, 17 points. I think that's the lowest ever score.
Lowest ever, I think.
17 points, yeah.
Yeah, but came back again, so you must be reasonably happy. Not that you're not really managing the Scorpio. You're still obviously involved, but MG's in charge, which is a stressful thought. But overall, you know, it was a great day's racing with you in the commentary box alongside me.
Yeah, it was tough watching the women's race. I was pretty quiet in the early stages of the commentary box because I was sitting there trying to spot where our team was. We knew we came in relatively depleted. We lost Hayden. We lost Vince. We knew Cassandra wouldn't be here. Georgia Taylor-Brown out. They were our main GC contenders for the team this year. We'd been planning all year for a big assault. And, you know, what we always find coming into Super League, it's towards the end of the season off some heavy racing. And it's arriving here in the condition to race is part of the puzzle that all the athletes have to face. But that'll change next week in Toulouse, which will be good. We'll get Hayden back and Cassandra will be back. So hopefully we can get onto the points chase. But it was a tough day watching the women. But they fought on, you know. Nicole Vanderkay had a great race. And for a lot of the young athletes we brought in along, the young juniors, for them to experience Super League racing in that team was amazing. We had a team meeting the night before. Jan Frodeno rang in to wish the team the best. And that was a real buzz for them. And I think building that whole team culture again, it's hard when a lot of your team leaders have been depleted from a team, and they usually take on the mantle of lifting everyone else. So, you know, that fell on Henry Schumann's shoulders, who had been on injury for 2 years. So, yeah. You know, overall, we're pretty happy. You know, we're expecting to be last team out of the rank on the results this weekend, and we ended up, five short of second, and well down on the Sharks, you know, but we're looking at it going, okay, we consolidated the losses. We knew we were going to lose a lot of points. We had to get what we could, and we had some issues there with Sajiv Sagir having a flat tyre, and he was going after the bite points for us, so we didn't get those points, but he's in good form.
Would have put you in second, mate.
Would have put us in second, yeah. So, you know, things went against us, and overall, you know, when you looked at the form guy going in, I think every team, speaking to Tim Don and the other team managers, we knew the Sharks were the stacked team, but times were changing. It's not going to look like that in Toulouse, and it's nothing worse than a fall from grace, Michelle, when you've been so good at the start and you have to explain why you're so bad. But overall, a good day's racing. We're quite happy.
Yeah, damage limitation mode for the Scorpions, not so for the Sharks, but a week is a long time in Super League racing. It's time for the headlines now. And, Macca, we start with you. I was sitting with you at breakfast this morning and I was like, okay, I need a headline from you. And the answer was, fill the bucket, and that's exactly what Taylor Reid did. Not just he filled his own personal bucket in terms of finishing on the podium, but he also actually filled an actual bucket after the race as well. So how stoked was he though, Taylor Reid?
He came out of your team last year, Michelle. We traded him across to the Scorpions, and he put an amazing performance. Going in, he's so calm. We were sort of initiating or asking him to go after the swim preams, and he said, "Oh, look, I'm riding all right as well, and I'm in pretty good form." I had no expectation of him doing what he did yesterday. I think it was one of his best performances. So I think he filled his own bucket, as you said. But if you get to watch the race, he probably vomited 2 litres of spew. So that's what he took out of himself.
He is such a talented athlete. Like,
he's just a hard kid.
Yeah, he's hard. He's aggressive hard when he races. You know, he swims, obviously, his strengths, but I think his running's improving as well. And I think every year he comes back to Super League Racing, you can just see that he's just so much more experienced from the year before.
Yeah.
And you could see that this year coming into round one. Usually he wouldn't do that in round one.
His run was impressive. Like, but we're watching it on the commentary. Yeah. He's running with Alex Yee and Johnny Brownlee. Like, I mean, they're two of the best runners in triathlon. Alex just decimated the Paris Test event.
He's good at the short distance as well, Taylor. He's obviously like there's a difference between, you know, as a runner, like between that short, sharp type of racing, who can tolerate the most lactic acid, as opposed to let's go the distance. You know, in Olympic distance, it feels like such a big contrast.
But this was the enduro. So had it been a triple mix where he got to reset and recover, you know, I could understand him being at the front all the time in the run or being part of the mix, but that was a rolling enduro where you're running after, you know, constantly running. There's no breaks. And I was expecting him to fall off in that second or third race. I actually said in the commentary, I think this is his final run. If he can hang tough in his second run, his swim will keep him in the game and he'll establish the podium. But
I think his biking was the thing that pulled him back in.
His swim biking was amazing. But he did not lose the run.
He knows how to handle the bike, though. Around those corners, I saw him get gaps, but then he really closed that gap in on the corners real quick, you know, and he hardly touched his brakes. And I think that's what got him back into the race and got him back into contention. And then once you're there, he just knows how to hurt himself.
Yeah, he definitely filled the bucket. But you get your chance, go and look at the thing, because it was a solid spew.
Yeah, the interview grab. I think you can see it on the socials as well. I think it's very funny. I think reporter Becker was like, "Oh, you got an empty bucket there with you?" He goes like, "Yeah, this is my second bucket, bro. The other one's over there. It's already full. I'm doing two buckets."
And he talks like that too, bro.
Oh, you, bro, choice.
Sweet as I'm. If it wasn't doing two buckets, then this wouldn't be Super League Racing, would it, bro? Yeah. And then he's like, he calls it churliness. I don't know what that means, but I think
he said that to me at breakfast. So I thought it was a thing you could get on the in the buffet.
It's like being hardcore. He's churly.
I was looking around for churlies in the buffet. Where do you get the churlies from?
Churly whirlies.
Brilliant.
All right, Michelle, your headline. And this is your free kick for just telling us how good you are, basically. Yours
again.
Is free to freezing.
Do you really want to hear it again?
Oh, can I block my step out now?
Yeah, but people who aren't listening to the podcast, people who are just tuning into the
podcast. The rest of the world hasn't heard it.
Yeah.
Everyone else has.
Yeah, we've been hearing it. But it's feeding frenzy, and why not? I mean, we knew you were going to be strong. Everyone said, you know, in London, the British team looks amazing. The women's race, 5 minutes in, 5 sharks and 2 warriors.
To be honest, even I was surprised to see that. I mean, I think we had a really good pontoon draw, and that really gave us a massive advantage on the rest of the field from what I could see in both men's and women's racing. But what I could see at the front, I kind of expected perhaps a blue frenzy at the front in the men's race, but not in the women's race. I mean, they all exceeded, I think, even their own expectations. Maybe not Sophie. You know, she was pumped before the race. She was just kind of shivering a bit. I was like, are you cold? Like, is everything okay? Because sometimes when you're a little bit nervous, you tend to, like, the teeth start to shatter and stuff. And I thought, oh, no, we might be in trouble here. And I knew that Liv was maybe going to go for the swim preem as well. But when I saw Soph take control of it and then they're all lined up behind her, I was just like, bring it on, what a start. Yeah. So it couldn't have been better, really.
There's huge gaps too. It almost looked like, we said it in commentary, looked like a team time trial.
Yeah, with a couple of orange people thrown in. And I love the new blue suits this year as well. I think they look fantastic. They really stand out. And
have you tried one on? I was going to try and get one sneakily, but... I think you've probably heard one now.
You should just ask one, Michelle. They might give you one.
Get Dylan on the back.
If you'd have got 150 points.
They could chuck me in there if they wanted to. I'd be well off the back in the swim.
Now tell me, you said earlier that you And then let's talk about the men as well while we're talking about the feeding frenzy, because obviously you had two people on the podium.
Yep.
It looked, for all money, all day, like Johnny and Alex would fight it out, which they did.
Yeah.
But you blessed Johnny's shoes.
I blessed Johnny's shoes.
What is that about?
No, look, I'm a little bit of a spirit. Like, no one really knows I'm quite spiritual and stuff like that. And, you know, I believe if you, sometimes if you ask from the gods.
Like.
No, look, I'm not that religious or anything, but if you just ask from above, like, some help. Like,
put it out to the world.
Yeah, put it out there. You know, you put it out there, you say, look, you know, and so what happened was he gave me his running shoes at the familiarisation, and I'd held on to them, and then I took them to my room accidentally, and then I was like, oh God, I got Johnny's shoes. And then he texts me like, have you still got my shoes? Because I'm a bit worried, like he's looking for his equipment. And apparently he's a bit, you know, OCD with his kit. He wants to make sure everything's in place. And I was like, mate, I've got them. Don't worry. I took a photo of them and said, look, they're in my room. I'll bring them to you tomorrow. Anyway, so I thought, I took them out of the packet and I thought, just give them a little bit of a, you know, bit of magic.
Cuckoo's nest, cuckoo's nest.
Just bless these shoes. Bless the shoes. And I was just like, listen, you're going to have a bloody good race tomorrow. Talking to myself with the room to shoes. If anyone can listen at the door.
Oh, my God. Just listen, you left shoe. You are going to have a good race.
Run.
Don't look at me like that.
And I gave him back to him. I said, I blessed your shoes, mate. He just himself laughing.
Had you told me that was Max Statley's shoes or whatever, it was Johnny Brownlee. He always goes.
It's true.
Yeah, no, he does.
So you're going to claim Johnny Brownlee's performance because blessed his shoes.
He had a real breakthrough like, performance, geez, didn't he?
Sure. Go work that out.
It's all about the blessing. No, but look, as you know, it was a bit of a bit of fun and maybe it gave him confidence. And he went out there and
that's
said...
That's what it was.
Maybe it was.
That's what it was.
No, look, the guy stormed it yesterday. I was a little bit worried about Alex, you know, being a little bit further back, but then he rode super well.
Yeah.
Geez, he knows how to handle a bike, doesn't he?
He does.
He really does. Like, on those corners, I was like, he was taking... And that was one of my one-liners.
He had a little Dixon with him, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
There was one of them, he did have
Dixon with
him.
And
he got isolated. Yeah. We thought, oh, because they put the hammer in. Mm. I thought, oh, that's going to be the gap.
If anyone's going to work, though, it's Dan Dixon.
Yeah. That's an ally you want.
Yeah.
But you're right, Alex. Alex, he railed that bike. He hit those corners real quick. He had
absolutely.
And that one down the ramp.
He risked it for a biscuit, and that was one of the one-liners that we were saying in the meeting. I said, "Guys, you've got to risk it for a biscuit. You got to," and they were just like laughing their heads off at me, and my team. They were like, "Why are you coming up with these one-liners?"
These are Australian,
what,
I think.
That's
risk
what
it
we
for
do.
The biscuit.
That's what we do.
110%.
Risk it for a biscuit. You know, take the shortest line, and he did that. Like he was
definitely.
But, you know, Alex comes across actually, you know, being the team manager, comes across quite placid and sort of like laid back.
Till he pins the number on,
mate. It's a different animal. I was like, wow, I'm seeing a different personality. It's like two personalities in one there.
Johnny's similar, though, when you contrast him to his brother Alistair. They're very different. Johnny's quite reserved. And
everyone's different to Alistair.
But do you know
they're
what?
All Johnny's.
Johnny's a lovely, like...
Apart from Max yesterday, so when we had him lined up, And we called them out like one by one. I looked at my team. I thought, I've got the most petite team here. Everyone else looked like they were monstering over my team. I was like, I hope we didn't get pummeled in the swim.
But we didn't.
Do you know
what I mean? I felt like there was like, I looked at them. I thought, in stature compared to the rest of the teams, we're kind of petite.
There was one shot where the Big Easy. We start calling them the Big Easy in commentary.
Yeah.
Max Stapley, because he was doing it so easy. And then he was running with about four other people. He looked like a dad running for the bus with his kids. Like he was just like, I'm running. All these like Dan Dixon's like, here I come.
Dan's tiny. Alex is tiny.
Yeah.
Johnny was tiny. I pat him on the back. I was like, these guys have got no, like there's that guy. What's that guy on your team?
Sanchez.
Team.
Sanchez
was
is tiny
big,
too.
The big guy that can swim that came out second to Stapley.
Second to Stapley.
And the Eagles.
Oh yeah, and he went back.
Eagles,
he was an Eagles guy.
Oh, an Eagles guy.
Yeah. In the first race, he was big on the bike.
Emil Hall?
No, it wasn't Emil Hall.
I looked at him, I was like...
Whoa. Oh, Marcus Day.
That's it. Yes.
And
He actually rode the bike pretty solid too. But I thought the same thing. He looked like a bodybuilder.
Yeah,
he looked like a little Blumenfeld. Yeah.
Someone was like, he's going to smash it in the swim. I think it was Nick from the Warriors. He's like, he's such a good swimmer. And that was like, oh my God, he looks like built like for a swimmer. But then obviously we had Max, and obviously Max exceeded
what I definitely thought he could do.
He had a cracker of a race. I was so happy for him. But yeah, my guys were tiny. I was like, oh my God, I mean, I'm going to get pummeled out there. But we didn't.
Didn't one bit. My headline is Le Hare and Le Tortoise, because Le Hare, she ran away from everybody. We didn't pick that until the last 500 metres.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She was threatening all day. She went off the back, Jean Lahaire, and ran away across that gap, which we thought maybe she'd burnt too many matches. But and she was surprised herself. She's like, I came down from altitude. I just didn't expect me to be able to do this.
Mm.
What I really like about the enduro sometimes throws up a like what is a surprise result. And this is another one of those examples where, you know, a whole time we're like, Potter, Colwell, Colwell, Potter, Potter, Colwell, Spivey, maybe not. And then bang, here comes Jean Lahaire at the end. I thought it was awesome. And I thought she was really excited to be there. She was running, what, 302s, yeah. I think, in the last one. So she got faster and faster as it went on. Every run was faster than the one before. And she was impressive, no?
Yeah, her first race, she had a really poor start and was back a bit and was able to come up with that first run. And she started to show her run form in that second race, remember? And I think she benefited from the fact that she didn't have to do a lot of the work because the Sharks were chasing down each other. So she was able to benefit with, as you said, we're looking at Potter and Coldwell and Spivey. And she was able to sit there and she just, I saw that in that second run we called it. I said, she's looking magnificent.
Yeah. She kind of hit on the bike, didn't she?
Yeah, she was able to get away with that. And enduro was about that.
No one really noticed her. To be honest, I didn't notice her when I was, like eyeball deep in the elastic bands on the bike, like trying to do my, trying to do the shoes. I looked up and I thought, where'd she come from? Because all I saw was blue, and then all of a sudden she's there, and I could almost sense Tim was getting really excited. I thought, what's he getting excited about? And I looked up and there she was.
Yeah, well, you saw Spivey. They were looking at Potter. There was a couple of times where Beth had a really tardy transition on that second round through. And, you know, the fatigue starts to set in, those mistakes amplify.
Mm.
And I think both Sophie and Taylor hit the gas and really pushed it. And Lahaire was able to get dragged up and not do anything. And Potter had to do a lot of that work to close that gap.
Mm.
And, you know, that slowly ticks along, and by that third race, you've emptied the tanks and
but I tell you what, for her to win and not even have the short shoot was even more impressive, wasn't it? Let's be honest, because you had, you know, two solid runners there that got the short shoot.
Yeah.
And she still managed to have the strength to really close that gap right at the end there.
I'd like to speak to Beth because it looked to me on camera that the short shoot, when Taylor and Sophie took the short shoot, that was what broke Beth Potter.
No, I think, she was just hanging on.
You know, she was hanging on, and that gap.
I think mentally,
mentally cracked
her. Sometimes it's hard, you know, like it's when you see that go away from you so quickly. Yeah.
When you see your team manager desert you after all the hard work you put in
give
the short shoot to your major opponent on your team. Yeah, and you're like, oh, you know what? Why do I even bother? I'm out. I'm done. Finished. Anyway.
Come on, Jean.
Paper, mate.
Come on,
Jean.
Yeah, that's it. Jean, come through.
I had to call it, and when I called it, I felt like I made the right decision. And
it was
hard to make that decision, and obviously you're not sure how. If a little fairy, then this is where you want the spiritualist to come in and tell you.
Well, I thought you would have had someone to talk to.
Exactly, I thought someone
was
going to tell me, but they didn't.
Mm.
You know, she didn't have the legs. Although I did see she was a little bit nervous before the race and stuff, and she does tend to do that anyway. But you know,
no, I think it was it was the right call. Had it gone to plan, you put them both in the mix.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was the right call.
Beth's the one with
the
run
right
legs.
It was the right wrong call.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it turned out to be 100% incorrect. However, at the time, right call.
You know what's going to happen? Next time I'll give it to Beth and then she won't need it and Sophie will need it. It's just the way it goes, isn't it? It's racing for you.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're lucky because not only do we get to talk about Jean Lahaire, we also get to talk to Jean Lahaire. And this is a little chat I had with the race winner just moments ago. Jean, welcome to the Short Shoot Show. You sit here as the leader in the championship, as you go into Toulouse, which is kind of a home race. You obviously race for Luxembourg now, but how are you feeling now that you've had nearly 24 hours to soak in what was your first race win at Super League?
So, yeah, I'm still super happy. And, well, now I start to be like, okay, this really happened. But, it is still a big surprise, and I don't feel like I'm the leader of anything because I know things will probably change next week. But it's true, it's like home now for me to lose since 2 years now almost. So it will be special. So I've been in Paris, it was special. Here, it was special because I won, and Toulouse will be special, I hope, in the good way as well. And it's a good start of the series. I'm really happy with that, and I hope I will continue the kind of same way.
As that race unfolded, we spent a lot of time in commentary talking about, is it going to be Potter or is it going to be Spivey or is it going to be Colwell? And then you bridged a gap at one point. So you were off the back a little bit and then you ran up to them.
Mm.
And we thought maybe that you had burnt your matches.
I was thinking the same.
But your runs got faster and faster, and you seemed surprised at the end that you continued to have so much left in the tank.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, like in a good way, because I felt really good at each run. And yeah, I was saying maybe it's the 10, now it's almost 2 weeks I've been down of altitude, so it's probably the moment I should feel the best. And so on the first swim was like really not good. I didn't struggle, but just I was not fast enough, but not struggling. Then I did the first bike completely alone, and I was, I'm holding the gap, but for sure I'm probably more tired than them. So I was, okay, now you need to like take the gap before the start of the second swim to at least be in the feet. So I did a big effort on the first run, like the first lap. And I was, at least if you are doing shit individual, you will maybe get some point for the team on the run. And so I caught the girl after the first lap on the run, and I could a bit chill the second one. And then I was like, okay, I'm back in the race. But each time on the bike, I was doing... hello, goodbye. So it was, oh my God. But yeah, I felt again good on the second run. So I was, maybe it's a good running day. And I think the group was shorter and shorter each leg. So when I was the 8 or 10 on the bike, I was doing a big effort. When I was 6 still, but less. And at the end, we are 5. So it was not super good, but still not too bad. But I think this circuit with a lot of corner was hard, but helping me a bit, because I think on the long straight line, the girl would have run away and I would have been really far and I couldn't have done anything on the run. But yeah, I felt really good on the second run. When I took the girl, I didn't know who would have the short shoot except Taylor, because I know it was Wire and Sharks. But I didn't know if it was Bess or Sophie. And Bess was a bit behind them, so I was, maybe she had the short shoot and then she will turn with them. And when I saw she didn't, I was, maybe she's probably just tired, so that's good for me. And yeah, then I did an effort to get back with the girl. It was a bit headwind, so I was, we'll just stay behind a bit. And before the U-turn, because we were a bit disturbing each other, I was behind, but I saw it was a bit fighting, so I was, I think I need to do the U-turn in front if I don't want to be disturbed. And then, I don't know, I felt good. So I was, just try to push a bit, but still keeping a bit. And after the cobblestone, I put another kind of attack. And it was the good one. I saw the video after, like, Sophie's directly watching behind. So usually when you start to watch behind you, it's like you are not focused too much anymore on the front. I didn't know at this moment, but on the video it was a bit obvious that I was going to win. But during the race, I was watching behind me several times just in case, because it's so short distance, you never know. Like if you start to chill a bit, maybe she will believe she can come and she will attack again and pass me when I will be, so no. So yeah, I have tried to stay focused until the maybe 50 last meters, and then I enjoyed.
Yeah, you went quite early. You kicked quite early on the cobblestones.
Yeah.
Earlier than we've seen other people do the same thing. So was that a plan at that point, or you just thought, I'll just see where we're going to stretch it?
So it's not at all a plan. I think I was just, I catch the girl after the short shoot. So on the paper, I'm faster than them at the moment, at least. And I was just trying to, with the U-turn, you have to stop, then you retake the pace, they will have to do an effort even if they are not dropping. And yeah, I think I just felt good, so I was going with the flow, and the flow was saying me go, so I'm going, and it worked.
That's fantastic. And now obviously you take I imagine a lot of confidence from that coming in to Toulouse, and are you shocked by you seem like you weren't expecting this kind of result. Yeah. Obviously coming down from altitude, is that the first time you've been through that, or what else has been different in the lead up to now deliver you this result? And then now, what are your expectations? Have they gone up for Toulouse, obviously?
Yeah, for sure. Like, this season is every race, I'm like, wow, what I just did. it's a pretty crazy season for me. And I like the fact that I'm still impressed by myself, if I can say, or at least by my result. And people are telling me, now you are one. Like, I remember it was maybe after Cagliari, I said to my coach, for me it's crazy to run faster or the same pace, who be around girls Georgia, Casson, because they are like, I don't remember how I say that, but they are big name. And my coach said, but you are a big name too. And I was like, no, and I still don't think for me. I said to Tim, like, I prefer to keep my, like, outsider name and, like, try to just do my life. And if it's good result, good. And if I'm an outsider and I do bad result, nobody knows. So I prefer this position.
Unfortunately, now you're at the top, so you're not in that position anymore. And all eyes are going to be on you now when it comes to Toulouse. And then we welcome people back, like Cassandra, like Emma Lombardi. So you have all these French women are going to be turning up for Toulouse. It's going to be a little different.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I mean, I don't know if the race was easier yesterday to take the win. For sure, it missed some big name. But, I mean, if Ifma is doing well, I don't mind because she's in my team, so it's pretty good. And then I think we will be, like, equal for the support, at least, because I'm still a bit French and more from Toulouse than them. So I hope people will be on my side. And, yeah, then I know in Super League everything can happen. On the paper, maybe Cassandre, like, she showed it in Hambourg on this distance and on every distance as well. But this distance specifically, she's, like, super, super strong. But last year, I didn't finish too far from her. So I'm like, yeah, just try to do the same this year and let's see what happens.
I see what you're doing there. You're putting everyone else up as the big names and you're just trying to put yourself down. Yeah. We're not going to allow that. No. We're not doing that at all. What did you do afterwards, the race? You told me just before you just took a nice long bath and just tried to soak it up and physically and literally. But what do you do away from racing? You know, what interests you to get away and how do you process wins and losses, you know?
Like what I did before?
Oh, and I mean, what do you do? Obviously, last night you took a nice long bath and tried to soak it up, but like generally, how do you wind down after a race? What do you do to get away from racing?
Like for example, after this interview, I will go to visit a bit London. I took a late flight for the latest I could just to have time to see a bit the surrounding because last year I flight like at midday or something. Yeah. So I'm like, you are not going to London every day, so it's nice to see. And since a few years, I'm trying to, like, it's a bit frustrating when you are a triathlete because you are traveling everywhere, more or less, but you are not seeing anything. And, like, traveling is, like, a thing I really like and discover one culture. London is not too different than France or Luxembourg, like, it's still Europe. But, yeah, sometimes you are going to places and you're like, yeah, I didn't see anything. It's too sad. So last year, I remember I just ran to the London Bridge and I came back just to say, oh, I saw one thing. But yeah, this year I will try to do a to-do list with the thing to watch, like Big Ben and stuff. So yeah, in general, I like to travel. And then before races, I'm more like doing a coma on my bed, trying to get the sleep I didn't before because I'm not sleeping enough. Sadly, I'm not going to bed very early in general. It's my weakness. I need to work on it.
Sleep's important.
Yeah, you know? I know.
What time do you go to sleep on the night before the race?
I think, but it was a late race, so it's not too bad. It was like 11:30 or something. Yeah.
Your coach would not appreciate that?
Yeah, usually I'm always answering to him super late. And usually when I ask a question, he just say, go to bed, Jen. And I'm like, yeah, but can you answer? Go to bed. Okay.
Last question. Obviously, you're going home to Toulouse. Will we see family and friends there? Will there be a whole bunch of Lehers everywhere around the course?
So my family, sadly, no, because they came into Paris and I have brother and sister. So my mom went to Metz after Paris to be with me. So now she's going to see my sister. So we need to split a bit. But yeah, we'll have some friends, I guess. Some will be at the French GP in Quiberon, so it's a bit annoying. But I think I will have people. I hope. Be there, please.
Well, the entire crowd's going to be cheering for you and obviously the other French women as well. You're now our championship leader. No more flying under the radar for you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, Jean Lehaire there, very happy as you would expect and just a little bit surprised. It's sinking in a little bit and she will go into Toulouse as your women's championship leader.
She's going to Toulouse
to win. Yeah, she's good enough. Well, she's got something to lose now.
Oh, I like that one. Yeah, okay. That could have been a headline.
That's good.
That could have been one of the headlines.
Yeah, it could have been. Oh, regret. I feel like Michelle after she gave the short shoot to Beth, not to Beth. Devastating.
I don't think I'm going to live that short shoot.
Well, we need to find something, some chink in your armour now that you've taken basically all
the
spots.
I know, see, this is the thing. You're trying to split my team apart. It's not going to work.
Time now for the stock market. This is where we look at who is ups and downs, whose stock is rising, whose stock is falling. Everyone has ups and downs. If you're Mac at that, you probably have only ups, I would say, in life. Always seems like he's on the up. A little bit
just
like...
Just upbeat,
hey?
Will.
Yeah, exactly. Just like you know, like a Colin Chartier, always
up,
always
down,
on the uppers.
There's also widening.
Yeah. Well, the Jack's not doing you any favours. So we'll go with whose stock, Macca, is rising after yesterday. Who do you think is booming on the stock market?
Like, obviously, I had my internal teams that I was looking at, but for me, it was Maxi Stapley.
Yeah, for me. Sure.
Just seeing him in that first race, set up with the swim, really be aggressive on the bike. You got the world's best. On the chase, he never looked back once, and then he executed. He ran amazing, like Max.
He did.
He
really
was running
did.
Tall. He kept himself in the hunt, and the groups didn't close in on him on that first run. He was able to stay there. I just thought he was. I was expecting Max to fade, but it just looked like a much more experienced racer. It's like he learned a lot from last year's season, and he just was magnificent across the board. I thought his stock is definitely on the rise. He's a great signing for you, and. You know, even if you start to lose some of the athletes as we do for injury for the series and things happen, I think Max is a major point scorer, big player.
He's a different animal this year. You know, he admits too, like he's been training really hard. Everything's gone really well. Last year he was at 60%. This year he's at 110%. You know, he's just absolutely psyched, absolutely pumped for this. And, you know, yesterday proved that. He talked that he was going to do, he was going to get that swim preem.
He did that.
He really did it. Like, I was like, you know, I'm not sure. You've got McQueen in there. You've got Scooman
in there. We had Taylor Reid. Like, Taylor on the Scorpion
side.
You've got
Taylor, and I know.
I'll get this on the swim. I'm the best swimmer
here. I know Taylor. From last year, he was grabbing points for us, like, last year, big time. But he kind of nailed those guys.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
He looked like he was going to
beat
from
them
the first
out,
50
like,
metres.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It wasn't just like he got to that first can and got round smoothly and then there was a bit of a
He got you your swim points. He got you your short shoot.
Yeah.
And he was off the front all day.
Yeah.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah,
he never buckled.
Yeah, he was
if it wasn't for Marcus Day stumbling his ass over the line, he would have got the second short shoot as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You ever see that where he's like he tripped over? But good on Marcus Day, though.
Yes.
For doing that. He did well there. What about a falling stock, Macca?
Falling stock, looking at it, and it's always hard because you're talking about athletes that you like. I thought, you know, looking at the Eagles team, I thought Kenji Nina, I was expecting a lot from Kenji. He was such a big scorer for the Scorpions last year. He was probably our stalwart on the team last year. And looking at the form guide, I thought he was a great signing for that team. I thought Tim was going to get a lot out of him, but... Yeah, to see him eliminated. And I love you, Kenj. But, if there's a stock that's rising and falling, it was definitely him, I'd say.
Well, I was just speaking to him before. Like, so he thinks he's had COVID.
It makes sense because it doesn't look right.
No,
so he woke up yesterday morning and he had a resting heart rate of 80.
That makes sense because he didn't look good in the swim. He was way back. He's such a great swimmer. Even his second swim, I thought he put himself back in it like Henry Skim. Was never in it.
No.
Mm. Never looked to be in it. So it's a very different athlete than we saw last year.
He said, I should have taken a page out of Hayden Wild's book and gone, if I'm 50-50, I should sit one out. But it's not in his DNA to sit out of race.
He loves racing.
You know? He's hard as nails.
Yeah.
So sorry, Kenj.
So he's on his way back.
Stock can always rise again, Kenji.
All right, Michelle, it's time for your stock market, your first ever stock rising and falling. So as you saw Macca, you know, normally when the cameras are not on, he'll happily just pile on someone. But when the cameras are on, he'll be like, oh, well, I don't really want to say. Oh, no, he can. He can, though. I've heard it. But this is your first one. So we'll go with the nice one first. Whose stock is rising for you? We've had... You gave them to me before, but Macca stole Stapley from you, so you're going to have to pick someone
Stapley,
else.
Yeah, you stole Stapley, because that,
I gave you. What about my side? What about Taylor?
But for Taylor has always been a really good athlete because, I mean, I had him last year. So
but you never got him on a podium. Scorpion's got him on his first podium. No, you didn't get him on a podium.
Okay,
I'll
give you that then. Yeah, he's rising. Yeah. He's on the rise, mate.
Taylor.
Taylor Reid, he's on the rise.
Yeah.
No,
I think it's a confidence thing for him.
Totally.
It's been three years he's been in the series.
Yeah, look, he's like I said, he's a really good athlete. And the guy gives it every bit of the line. You can see that because he's obviously
vomiting
at the end.
He's so calm. Troy, bro. He's his breakfast here.
It means a lot to him, you know.
Yeah, he just doesn't just,
nothing changes. He's just...
And he loves Super League, you know, last year. He really embraced it and was a massive team player for the Sharks. And so he's going to be really valuable, as you already can see, for the Scorpions this year. But, yeah, I'd say Taylor Reid.
There's some athletes who, like, you can see there's a lot going on in their mind, a lot of permutations, a lot of nervous energy. Things are simple inside Taylor Reid's head.
It's like,
turn up, go hard as possible. Everything happens the way it happens. Move on to the next one. I think that's just it, right?
I said, what's happening at home? Your mum and dad must, they'll be on the drunk.
They'll
be on the drunk, man. They'll be so hippie.
They're going to open a ton of cans. It's like midnight in New Zealand. They're going to be smashed. People who think that Australian accents and Kiwi accents are the same are incorrect.
Yeah, they're very different.
Completely different. All right, Michelle, this is the hard part, right? Stock falling. It's not always easy to pick someone. And like Macca, you'll have a caveat, like, I really like you, man, but also you suck. You know, like, that's basically this vibe.
Well, I'm used to seeing.
You can like a stock, Will, and it can still fall.
I agree.
You know, I like Tesla stock.
You don't have to sell the stock. You can keep it. It's just worth less than what it was before.
It can still go back up. Remember? Stocks go up.
Stock falling.
Yeah, I think the whole of the Scorpion team.
Give us a break.
I never saw a red jersey up the front. Jeez. I'm used to seeing a red jersey.
Sanchez was fourth. Schoonmann was seventh.
Do you talk about the women, though?
I'm talking about the whole thing.
You just said the team.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think about the women. But I think the women.
There was a men's race, too. Sexist. There was also a men's race after.
But still, the Scorpions are more prominent usually, but they weren't as prominent.
Can I just defend that stock falling as the CEO of the company, I guess, when your stock's fall? We lost all our talent coming in. We've had injuries
True.
So let's see if that stock bounces bounce. Because we could be talking a completely different stock falling sharks after
stock,
Toulouse.
We know it goes up and down. So.
Yeah. Well, so they beat you by 2 points last year. So obviously it's something that you want to make sure that you nail them again.
Absolutely.
So you've got 148 team points.
Yeah.
Scorpions end up on 65.
Mm.
So according to our stats guy Graham's predictions, the Scorpions were a bit better than what he thought they were going to do.
Oh, really?
The Sharks were 25 points less than predicted.
Oh, no, poor team management.
No, less.
Poor team management.
Well, so you could have scored more.
We lost 5 points because Chris Perham got DQ'd and we would have had 5 points
So he's
there.
Your stock falling then, is he?
Well, I mean, you could say...
It was a mistake
with the helmet yesterday.
Now, what the statistics guy is saying, Graham, our statistics guy is saying, is as a team manager, you underperformed.
Underperformed.
And the Scorpions team overperformed. So
you take it that way you like. Look at the leaderboard, it tells you the story.
You win a series, not a round. Remember that. That's what happened.
That's
the confidence you had in last year when you just lost it in Neum on the bell, the grand final. Looked the best all year, but... cracked under the pressure when it mattered, when the trophies get handed out.
Yeah, thanks to like Engineer and Ryan Fisher coming 11th or whatever it was.
I had Hayden in that team and he didn't win in Neon. He cracked it, but he's now your team. Yeah. So you deal with that.
Speaking of Hayden Wild, considering riding from Andorra to Toulouse on Thursday or Friday.
It's only 200K, bro.
It'll be sweet. He sent me a thing. He's like, it's all downhill, bro, once I get over the hills in Andorra. I'm like, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
I think it's a good idea.
No, you would think it's a good idea.
Let him ride.
You would think it's a good idea. My stock rising is, and you can probably debate this, but I'm going to go with Fanny. She finished 15th. She scored a championship point. She's 15 years old. I think that's absolutely insane. Fanny's Elias come here, eyes like overcoat buttons, looking around at all her competitors. Her dad's here with her.
Athlete.
She doesn't speak much English. You know, she hasn't lost a race in 4 years in any format, but she's never raced anyone who's even close to the caliber of these athletes.
Yeah.
Racing against the heroes.
Yeah.
She had a little crash.
It's just such a shame.
And then got up and kept going. Now, we've seen athletes with far more experience than that have a little crash and throw their hands in the air.
Yeah.
But she didn't. She got up. No. She was crying. She kept going. She finished 15th, scored a championship point. You know, obviously, Tim had some choice words to say to look after her afterwards. But I just thought she sewed some metal. And I think she'll get better now as the series continues.
So you think a 15-year-old athlete growing up will get better? You're a genius.
No, over the next 5 weeks, mate.
Yeah,
6 weeks.
But she's 17, 18,
I think she will continue to get older.
Oh, yeah, she's going to. Of course she's going to get better.
She's got that. Like, she's got that special... character about her. We know, Macca.
Yeah, she's a Mel Mitchell, Nicole Hackett type back in the old days in Australia, we had very.
This is where Macca starts talking about people nobody.
Yeah, if they're Australian Olympians from the pre-2000, a young 15, 16-year-old girl in Australia did the same thing, and they grew as athletes because the talent's there. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And when you expose them to this type of racing at such a young age, and they perform the way they do, we saw it after that first swim. She had Alice Beto, who's in my team, three-time Olympian, behind. Like, I mean, wow. That's it's a huge thing for a 15-year-old. So I do tend to agree. It was a great first effort. And she's
I watched
only
a documentary
get
on her and her coach, and basically she wants to do more than the coach gives her. And that's always
The attitude.
That's the sign that we know, and that anyone I've ever coached, if you have to hold them back,
well, that's the coach's.
They're destined to be champions.
Yeah, that's the coach's job.
That is their determination and their motivation to want. They want it so badly, and that's what she's got in her DNA. And no one can take that away from her.
Yeah.
And I think that's why she's going to be the champion that we all believe she's going to be, as long as she's nurtured through. Obviously, because it's still an age where you know you can get injured and you get sick and you can overdo it. But the coaches seem like they've got her on good reins, and I think that they're pulling her back and they're making sure that she does all the right training and everything. But her attitude is so mature for her age, and you know she's such a strong athlete, swim, bike and run, that only Super League Triathlon Series is just going to enhance that and make her such a much, much better athlete as she moves on to you know the world stage you know in years to come. The experience that she's going to gain from Super League Triathlon is going to be tremendous. So I think, you know, it's so exciting to have her as part of the series. And, I think she did phenomenally well yesterday, like you said, for her first race, you know. And also, because Arena Games, we know she's done well, but you're out there, you know, your bike handling skills, those sharp corners. Do you ever get to do that in training? Probably not. Not to that degree. I've seen her on a documentary going up and down cones, practicing and that, but it's not quite the same when the pressure's on. When that gun goes and you've got bikes around you and they're all cutting you off and all that kind of stuff, you've got to hold your line.
Yeah, when you look, you know, also you're riding on and then suddenly you're like, oh, Katie Zafiris and look at this Taylor Spivey.
Yeah, you've got to
say
focus.
That's Beth Potter. And you're like, oh my God. And then the crowd is massive. And then the TV cameras and the drones and all that thing. Like, she's never uncovered anything like that before. I mean, I can imagine, I mean, I have to imagine because I've never done it, but I can imagine that is very overwhelming for someone who's that young.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
You know, she's
not
done
bad,
it once
not
now.
A bad pick. Well, actually, not a bad pick. When you first said it, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. But yeah, it's not bad.
Actually, right. Championship point.
When you unpack it, you're actually right.
Oh, that's the nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I sat there when you said it, I went, really?
Well, I'm going to jump. For my stock faller, you might not agree with this, but it's going to be a Scorpion. And because, and I look back at what Verena Steinhauser has done in last year's series.
Yeah.
Finished 8th, 6th, 7th, 6th, 8th. Finished 12th yesterday. We didn't talk about her. She didn't figure. So, I was thinking of her as who would lead the Scorpions.
I thought so too, I won't lie.
And Nicole ended up doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, she finished 9th, but she did figure a little more in the racing. I didn't see Verena Steinhauser yesterday. And I saw her yesterday before, and she said, I'm feeling good, I had a good sleep, I'm ready to go, blah, blah, blah. Just had her worst result. I mean, I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying, where is she at? I mean, we don't know now.
Yeah.
So she's the one with the experience in that team.
I thought the same thing. When we went into the team meeting, we saw her as our team leader without question. She's a big biker, you know. And I think watching the race from the commentary box, we only saw the blue, so I couldn't see what was happening at the back of the field.
That's because
we got hard, isolated, and you didn't, you know. So I'd love to unpack that with them, but yeah, it's a fair call. And she said she's in great form. She said she's ready to step up for the team, even when Cassandra and others come back. She's ready to be a big player as a point scorer,
like a
but
team player and stuff.
Yeah, but. Yeah, I didn't see that yesterday. Hopefully it's just, you know, when you come into that first round of
the
series.
The first round's hard.
It's so fast.
Yeah.
You've been racing.
It's a shock. It's a shock to
it's
the
so
system.
Short, shock, bang, lactate through the roof. You've been racing Olympic distance events.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
And boom.
Yeah, because
it blows
your
doors
it's
off.
True, because they're coming off massive Olympic distance.
Yeah.
You know,
completely
season.
Different energy system.
And no matter, even if they try to switch it up to like really fast, short, you know, stuff in training, you know, it's
you
not
enough. Really
you
nearly said really fast,
that
short
race.
Shit.
You
can
that.
Say that.
Sorry?
You nearly said really fast, short shit stuff.
Shit
you can say shit if you want. It's a podcast. It's cool.
Podcast. No, but I mean, no, but it's
and
true.
It's the enduro format, first one out of the blocks, which we didn't have last year.
Yeah.
Last year it was a trip. And that enduro is a hard one, that second swim, third swim.
I just spit all over people's mouth. It's by far my favourite format.
Yeah. It should be more. Well, there are this year two of them, but there should be more enduro formats.
All enduro.
Yeah, it's the best format.
Oh, there's not two of them, is there? Not those.
There's another enduro.
Those elastic bands.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah, mate.
Oh, we've got to work. I have nightmares over these elastic bands. It is the best format.
Because it exposes people that are underdone very quickly.
Yeah, it does.
All right, we're nearly at the end of the podcast, but I want to. There's a couple other things we should pull out. We call this the breakdown, but this is basically, normally it's where Tim Don comes with 25 ideas about what he wants to talk about and no one else bothers with an idea. But things that we haven't mentioned, and we'll talk about Toulouse before we go, but Marcus Day was an operator at the start of the race. Well, that was cool. And we didn't mention Reese Vanison from the Warriors, who ended up taking the fastest run points.
Yes.
With a 2-minute lap.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy can travel.
He warmed up. You saw that, though. It was an instruction from team management to sit there, and he waited. He was going to get eliminated, but he went after the points. And I spoke to him at the breakfast, the dinner last night, and he was saying, look, 8 points. Like, I'm not going to come, 11th on the rankings or 10th on the rankings. So that was a strict instruction to go.
8 points is 7th, I think.
7th on the rankings, or 8th on the rankings, he said. He said, so that was my job in this team. So I swam easy in the back. Biked easy. I was prepared to be eliminated for the points, but I needed those points, and he got them.
And that's what the team element needs to become. Yeah. Yes. You know, it needs to have, you know, as we say, two or three GC contenders and then role players.
Mm.
We pull out Emma Jeffcoat from last year, example.
Yeah, she
and then this guy on the run, same thing.
Yep.
You know,
the Warriors kind of surprised, I think, a little bit yesterday.
The women were always going to be strong.
Yeah, the women. There's a lot of experience there. But Casper, then the men, you Casper just back. We were like, nah, they're going to get smoked, and they didn't.
Yeah.
Right. So,
in lieu of the 60-second soapbox, because I think Mac has ranted enough already, I just want to talk quickly about Toulouse. We've got big names coming in.
Yeah.
Things are going to change. Complexion's going to change. Now, for you, for the Sharks, no Beth Potter, no Sophie Colwell, no Alex Yee.
It's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough.
They're the guppies.
They are. Sharks. The goldfish now.
Yeah.
But
we're going down.
The Eagles, welcome back. Leo Bergier, I think. Christian Blumenfeld's going to come back. Don't know what state he's going to be in. He's raced 11 times in the last 14 days. Matt Hauser comes back. And also Emma Lombardi. They all come in to the Eagles. That's an insanely good team. And then for you guys, the Scorpions, you've got Hayden Wild comes back if he makes it from Andorra, and Cassandra Beaugrand as well, both of whom are race winners from last year. Hayden obviously did that more than once. So the entire complexion of the teams is different. Mm. The Warriors stay the same, I think. They are the same 10 that they'll roll out, all Americans. There might be one change in one of the younger males, but there's a guy called Mark Dubrick, I think, who might come in, but we'll see how that looks. But it's going to be a completely different race. It's also a completely different course. I didn't go last year, but it looked amazing. The crowds turned out, and it's going to be completely different racing and plenty to look forward to, and you must be looking forward to getting back there again.
Oh, well, we are, without question. Mm. You know, I guess we did expect Hayden to be here when we got the information prior to London that he wasn't coming. It was a bit of a downer. We had to build the team up again, but he's been heavily involved in the team. It's not that he's sitting in Andorra. You know, he's been in the chat group, talking to the team, wishing them all the best, watching the coverage on live. And he said after the race, I can't wait to join you all in Toulouse. He's coming in ready to race. He knows he has to score points. And Hayden's a guy that knows Super League racing. Mm. He's a front runner. He can score points. He takes instruction well. That's going to be great. For us, with Cassandra last year, Toulouse was an okay race for her. It's very technical. Mm. And she got wobbled after Munich. I think she's going to come in with a lot of confidence after Paris, but we need to go on the points, Jason. We're looking forward to bringing them back in. I think we get Leone in the team as well.
I think you're right. Yeah, I miss Leone.
That's worrying for us.
Yeah, well, they work well together. They're good friends and they work well together. So.
Well, I think Cassandra also races better sometimes when Leone's there as well.
Yeah, totally.
You know, especially because she's going to be at home in Toulouse too. Yeah. And maybe those wobbles from Munich and stuff when you saw what you did in Paris.
Yeah, they're done.
You know, and also what you did in Hamburg as well. She was super focused and killed it. Like maybe that's done.
Getting a little bit more English. She's moved away from that French camp. It's a year in Loughborough. It's hard training. You've trained in Loughborough with that British team.
It rains all the time.
Rains. She runs around. I was watching her run around.
If it's raining in Toulouse this year, she'll be sweet.
Oh, she loves that Paula Radcliffe Park. You run around. You know, she used to run loops in Loughborough there. I see her doing all the laps there. I think that is a great move for her, and I think she's a completely different Cassandra than she was last year, and she'll be a completely different Cassandra. It's like you were talking about Fanny before. This is Cassandra Beaugrand. She's also evolving, a relatively young athlete.
She's dangerous when she's on, mentally. It doesn't, dangerous, because physically,
she's the best in the sport when she's on.
And she's such a great swimmer. Yeah. You can obviously earn some good points. You wouldn't know this anyway. But Hayden, I think he's going to be hungry coming into this because – you know, he's a racer. That guy loves racing, and he didn't produce what he wanted to produce in Paris, obviously, because he had a fall beforehand. I know he might have been a little bit injured, but sometimes, you know, when you freshen up, accidentally freshen up like this, like as a forced stress, they come back. People don't realise how important rest is as an athlete. I think athletes tend to overtrain, especially leading into Super League. You've got to be super fresh.
Totally.
That is dangerous.
I think Howser's going to play a big impact too. And I think Howser coming back with Tim's team will be a big impact, because he sat on the sidelines and watched this one. I know he's just had COVID. I don't know how much that's going to affect him. It'll be a couple of weeks post. But I think, that this format suits both those athletes. Even, you know, I think they can do a lot. And with Alex out, it opens things up a lot more. I don't know about Christian. I'm with you. Christian is such a great racer. He continues to surprise me, so he's capable of doing anything. But at some point, you have to show that you're human. I think we saw a little bit of that last week.
Yeah, but did we just see that? And now, is that done? Are we done
with
that
now? Yeah, like it's...
But didn't you get a tummy problem or something?
Yeah, after Singapore, they're saying.
Okay, well, that's going to take a lot out of you.
Yeah, Sam Long was that good in the 70.3.
That's going to take a lot out of
you. Jason West got he's lost tons of weight. He got Singapore.
How did he do that?
Flu.
So he just swam in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, beauty. Do you know where he dived in? I might go through.
Have you seen the guy? He looks like this. He's this big.
I wouldn't mind diving in there myself.
Oh,
wow. I've been training. You wait and see.
We'll come in and be like, Macca, Skeletor? She's your licking. Skeletor?
Yeah, Singapore.
You've been training?
Macca comes into breakfast every morning. He's like, all we do is eat around here. Anyway, I'll
have
that and that.
Yeah. Hold on, you went from no carbs the first plate this morning to all of a sudden like, oh, MG, I'll have your plate and I'll have
your
carbs.
Yeah, what are you doing with that?
There's no carbs on it.
No, there was.
It was an omelette.
No, I saw underneath.
It was an omelette. It was made only of cheese.
Whatever it was. And I was like, oh, I thought to myself, Mum, I thought he said he was having no carbs.
That's what's going wrong. I thought I was having no carbs.
He was starving himself.
It was an omelette on a bed of hash browns.
There we go. Hash browns, no carbohydrate, whatever.
Well, there are some athletes here in London, and we all moved to Toulouse this weekend on the Sunday. Do not miss it. All the details, as always, on superleaguetriathlon.com. There's tons of digital content coming out as well, so make sure you check Instagram especially. Very active on Instagram. Plenty to look forward to. Tons of storylines as well. Thanks, Macca, for coming on once again. Thanks, good to do this in 3D. You're so much more impressive in 3D than you are in 2D when I'm usually doing it on the computer. And Michelle, I hope that wasn't too painful for your first time.
Oh, I enjoyed it, actually.
Oh, good.
I enjoyed chatting with you.
Well, talking about your own victories is your favourite topic.
Of course. I mean, if you put me in the hot seat again, if we had a really shocking weekend, I'll probably be all depressed like that.
See you next month. Oh, we'll see you next Monday then, won't we? All right. That'll do for the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Do not miss race number 2 in the 2023 series next weekend in Toulouse.